time, can you make it smaller so that it can be on one line? So that it won't break up like this. Can you make it smaller? You know, usually it, when I see things like this, it is sort of my English language sense. Are you hearing me? So can we make it smaller? Make it smaller. It's better it's smaller and look sensible. Because we don't write like this. Thank you. Reflections. Thank you. So let's just spend some time. I'm not trying to make us negative. You know, people think anything that doesn't sound like happy, happy, clappy is negative. No, not really. But let's just spend some time to just reflect like we do our own birthday. And, you know, this person in our life is important. He has our life's configuration. And we are expected to live our life around him. So let's do some reflections. I wrote some things down. And the very first thing I want us to look at is chapter 5, Galatians, verse 6. I'll just put those two verses up. And then we'll reflect from there. Hallelujah. It's my friend around, Nehemiah. Happy birthday. Where is he? Nehemiah, put up your hand. Oh, today's his birthday. You know. All right. So, beautiful. Share the same birthday with Jesus. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Can we read it in our NLT? For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. So, let's also read one more verse. 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 5. Can you give us in NKJV? Examine yourself to see if your faith... Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Let us disqualify. Can we just do something this morning? As we look back, last 1 year, Christmas, last Christmas, and this Christmas, can we just take some thoughts together before the choir will come up? You know, the best of this is that this Christ is alive in me. Am I right? I mean, yesterday, Sister Uchi was really emphasizing the fact that Jesus Christ is no longer in the manger, no longer on the cross, is alive in glory. And is alive in us. In fact, Paul said that the mystery of all mystery is not that Christ was born in a manger. The mystery of all mystery that Christ was crucified. The mystery of all mystery is this. Chapter 1, the book of Colossians. Look at verse 25. The mystery of all mystery is this. Chapter 1, Colossians, verse 25. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. What's that word of God? Look at next verse. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. And that's not the mystery of Christmas. What's that? Next verse. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, Gentiles. Which is what? Christ in the manger? No. Christ on the cross? No. Christ in us. Praise God. Praise God. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So can we just ask, reflect upon our lives? And before the choir will come up, let me just say this. Few things I put on my paper over here. He said, Christ in me. That's the mystery. That's the secret. Christ in me. Am I really aware of that? Do you know that I woke up this morning, early this morning, around 3 or 4 o'clock, my usual time of waking up. And I lifted my hands and I began to sing a particular song that's an old song. I said, Father, glorify your name. Father, we glorify you. We worship and adore you. Don't even remember that song. And I sang the next one about Christ. And then the next one was the Holy Spirit. And something just came to me that the Holy Spirit is God and is alive in me. Christ, you know, the Holy Spirit, that is not just a dumb person. You know, just dawned on me that the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I just stopped and I asked myself, really, does he actually actively talk with me? Do I really listen more to him? A lot of time, let me confess my sin. A lot of time when I'm hearing from inside, I'm thinking I'm just hearing my own reflection of my heart. Are you listening? But that is still living inside of me. And if someone is living in your house, there will be a voice. There will be a contribution. Am I right? So, Christ in me, am I really aware of that this last 12 months? Am I really aware that Christ in me? Or it's all about myself, depend on myself? Do I face all this thing going on with Christ in me? Or am I just by myself? I wrote this one down. Do I depend on Christ more in the last 1 year? Or looking back, it was more about trying to figure the way out by myself. So as we reflect on this bad day of Jesus today, do I have more of Christ? Then, remember we read about faith and love is what matters in Christ. Let's go back to that place again. Chapter 5, verse 6, the one we read first. 5, verse 6, Galatians. I'm not trying to make us sorry this morning. Merry Christmas. I'm not trying to make us sorry, you know. What I'm trying to do this morning is just to offer us to reflect and then look forward to see how we can tap more into this. If all that we are saying about Christ is true and that all is working, so let's look at last 1 year and then go ahead and do more. We're going to be like Yoruba says, we're going to be like an old person who looks back and like a young person who looks forward. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. So they said, but faith working through love. Faith working through love. He said, what matters most in Christ? Faith working through love. So I need to ask myself this question. Reflecting the last 1 year, how is my faith? How is my faith? Last 1 year. And is there anything I need to improve upon? Can we talk about that for a few minutes? Let's look at Luke chapter 8. Jesus was asking one question there. I want to talk about three questions about our faith this morning as we reflect upon Jesus, his birth, and celebrating his birthday. Luke 8:25. I hope I'm correct. When they were on the sea, let's look at verse 23 to make it clearer. As they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water. And were in danger in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him and saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose, rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And then after that, he said to them, where's your faith? Can I ask you this morning, in the last 1 year, where has been your faith? Has it been virile, vibrant, strong, or just something we bring out on Sunday to remind ourselves that we are Christians? Or is your faith been working this year? Has your faith moved some mountains this year? Sickness, disease, lack, problem, issues, marital. Has your faith moved something this year? Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to these mountains. Were there mountains moved in your life by your faith this year? He said, where is your faith? The same Mark, the same situation, Mark asked another question. Let's go back there. Mark 4, verse 40. Just making some Mark reflections quickly before we sing and we talk about Christmas. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? The same story. But how is it that you have no faith? Looking back to this year, were you stranded? Were you put in a spot that you know? This morning I was reading my Smith Wigglesworth devotional. Don't mind me; I don't follow the dates. You know, I just start reading from where I stop. Thank God for tablets. If it's a book you are reading, you have to be looking for the pages. So, and where I read today challenged me. Can you listen, everybody, to this story? There was this elderly woman that was so much a blessing to her church. And her presence in church is such an inspirational. thing. And so one day in her bathroom, she fell. And then I think one of her bones, her leg, broke. They took her to a hospital and they put her together and put the bone together and cast over there. And several weeks later, they opened it up. They found out it was not well set. Elderly woman, I think maybe it's in her 70, late 70s or early 80s, I'm not very sure now. They gave us the date. And then they took her back, and then doctor said, "Mama, there's no hope for you. You'll never walk again. So get on the bed." Now listen to this, I love this story. It just kind of, for me, very inspiring. And then Smith, which was said, I went to that town, and then the person that was telling me said, "But Mama is at home. She couldn't see her presence. We missed her in church so much." And then Smith, you know Smith, was just an unusual man when he come to faith. He said, "Let's go see her. If she does believe, if she do believe, we can get something done for her." So Smith, which is what, entered her house. And said, "Mama, good morning." And then Mama said, "You're welcome." And Smith said, you know, Smith is a very rough person. He said, "Hey, Mama, do you believe?" "Oh," he said, "I've been believing. I heard that you came to town, and I've been believing in my heart that God's going to get me together out of this place." I said, "There was no more hope." Medical son said, "No more hope." And then Smith said, "Mama, do you believe?" Her husband was not a believer. He didn't even like God. He was in a wheelchair beside her. And the husband said, "I don't believe a thing. I don't believe a thing." Then Smith said, "Mama, do you believe?" Oh, Smith was rough, man. His faith was rough. Even when ministers sit along with Smith on the stage, they start shaking. That kind of person he is. So he said, "Mama, I'm going to pray for you right now, and you're going to be well." Said, "I believe." But this old woman, they believe it easily. So he said, "I just finished praying." And he said, "To the glory of God, Mama, I'm not going to help you up. Get up yourself." And then she just got up and walked up and down. And walked up and down and started glorifying God. And then the husband said, "Hey, make me walk too. Make me walk too." You know, Smith said, "You old sinner, repent." He doesn't have anything in him that is gentlemanly at all. The boy said, "Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe." You know, so Smith said, "Lord, don't help him. Shall I get up?" He started walking around too. I started the old man too. Praise God. You know what hit me this morning? I mean, that was shocking for me too. But what hit me was the fact that we have something that is beyond natural that we can always rely upon when natural fails us. Praise God, somebody. I'm working on my faith in these last couple of years. This is my 43rd as a Christian, 43 years as a Christian. But I've always seen that anytime I try to come out of my normal box, when things don't work for me, and I pull out my faith, it seems to work. So this last year, have you used your faith? Dollar rates, everything. Will you keep on surviving? Let me stop there. Because I don't want to spend my time doing all this today. Let's invite the choir. We don't talk about love, let's have our time. Just faith, hallelujah. Reflecting. Let's laugh for the choir as they come. I'm the kind of a person who always wants to find out more and experience more. And can I be honest with you? A Bible reader will be surprised if you read your Bible to see that the Christmas things we do, they are not all like that in the Bible. Of course, thank you. There are a lot of things added to make story sounds better, like the kind of song we just listened to now, Lullaby, Baby, kind of a thing. It's fine. But have you ever thought about it? It's a little problem for us today. People, any casual reader of the Bible will wonder certain things in the Bible. For instance, look at this Christmas thing. There are four Gospels in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that describe Jesus' birth, his life, death, and resurrection. Can I be honest with you? You are missing a lot if you never read the Bible yourself. You are missing a lot. You have your Christian life will be crippled all through your life if you never. I noticed that in recent times, people are coming to church that don't open the Bible. That's a travesty of the faith. Because it will never let you become that kind of person who is maturing and challenging and making things work. In the time past, in the centuries behind us, rulers, government keep people from knowing the Bible so that they will not take their lives to the next level. Are you hearing me? But in this generation, the devil didn't have to make any edicts or any issue. He just gave us something else to be reading, social media. I will see people listening and following the news. I'll see people listening to social media and sharing it, but they hardly open their Bible. I am not attacking anybody this morning. It's something we have to be aware of. So today, we have a challenge that we don't even know what we have. We depend on people. I'm going to share some experiences with you that will help you this morning to actually rescue our faith. I know that somebody is going to ask you, where is Christmas in the Bible? Somebody is going to ask you, who read a little bit of the Bible? What's all this about? Which day? But can we this morning just ourselves look at our faith and look at the stories of Jesus' birth? And amazingly, there were four books in the Bible that describe Jesus' life. And they were giving different accounts. Are we here, everybody? In fact, a lot of these stories that we do about Christmas is built around just only part of Luke and part of Matthew. So I want us to just, for a few minutes, take a look. Why did God give us four stories instead of one story of Jesus? Have you been there before? You will see Jesus healed two blind men, and Mark will say it's one person. Anybody seen that before in the Bible? I tell you, you wonder, why are they doing that? Why did God have to create this kind of thing? Can't they just edit it? But not really. Luke was giving us this, the reason why Bible was written that way. Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Let's just read from verse 1 this morning. Then we are going to just look at the stories of Jesus from different accounts and see what we can learn from there. In as much as many taken in hand to set in order a narrative. Now please look at that word. A narrative. Not a philosophy. Not an ideology. Not a theory. A narrative. Something really happened. Can I warn you about something? When something really happened, when you call 2-3 witnesses, they won't tell it exactly the same way. How many of you agree with me on that? Thank you. There will be their background, their own idea and kind of stuff. Now, Luke was a doctor, highly trained, educated person. Doctors will like that in the house. He was the only non-Jew permitted to write two books in the Bible. Every other person in the Bible were Jews. So he didn't have the Jewish background. Other a narrative, those things which have been fulfilled among us. Next verse. Just as those from the beginning were eyewitnesses, they saw it, and ministers of the word delivered them to us. So they were eyewitnesses, they saw it. Next verse. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus. Hallelujah. Somebody's car is making noise in the compound. Pastor, how did you hear that? I have ears now. Okay, so please help us adjust that so the battery will not be run down. That's a pastor's work. All right, thank you. Are we here? Now, so we see, I want to take something this morning for a few minutes. I don't want to take my time long too long. I want to go and eat my chicken. What about you? I want us to look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John just for a couple of minutes and wonder about the life of Jesus. And you know why I'm doing this morning? Because Jesus is a typical picture of what God wants our life to be. Am I here, everybody? Jesus was giving a life to be shared with us. So one way or the other, all of us, as we sit here this morning, we have a share in the person of Jesus. And we may see our own life and reflections in him. And yesterday night, around 5 or 6 o'clock, the Lord was asking me that what I wanted to say before, I should drop it and say this, what I'm saying this morning, that I should talk to you about looking at your life from these 4 dimensions. Number one, look at yourself. Somebody sitting beside you will look at you and see you. But let's look at Matthew version of Jesus' story. In Matthew chapter 1, let's look at verse 1. Amazingly, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, let's keep reading. And Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Let's keep reading. And Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Now, these stories were full of men, but some women entered the story. Please, are we here? And the very first one to enter the story was called Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Not the ram for goat, but the ram called Ram. And Ram begot Aminadab, and Aminadab begot Ashon. Ashon begot Salmon. Next verse. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. Next verse. And Jesse begot David the king. David begot Solomon by her, who had been the wife of Uriah. Can you look up everybody? There are about 3 or 4 women mentioned here. Tamar. Who next? Rahab. Ruth. And then Bathsheba. Before we go further, that person you are sitting beside is not just now. There's been stories. There's been life before. Brother Vincent is from Imo State or Imo State? Enugu State? Ebonyi State. Now, as you see him sitting down there, father and upon fathers, upon father, mom and mom brought him here. So when you shake hands with him, you are shaking hands with more than the person that you are looking at. You are shaking hands with history. Are you hearing me, somebody here? I'm not a particular person when it comes to history. But you know, when Jesus came and he was born, this baby was born, they began to locate him, not just in the moment, but in the history, in the genealogy. We are living in a world today where we are just us. You know, we that are born again, that are alive away today, we broke away from our human tradition because our parents were not saved. Am I right? Some of us, our parents were saved. But some of us, we just came out, and then in our wedding, they trumpeted, don't go back, don't let any parent influence, and let them get involved with you, blah, 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 blah. Now, we are growing up now. We are forming a dynasty. Am I right? And we are coming to see that it's just more than what we have seen before. But Jesus was given a peculiar privilege to be born in a godly heritage. And please, please, you never know you are a Nigerian until you go somewhere else outside the country. You never know you are a Yoruba man until you go somewhere else to the east. You never know you are a Jebu until you wind up at Elisha. That's a Jewishness. That's an Ijebusiness. That's a Yorubaishness. That's a Nigerianness about you. And that was a Jewishness about Jesus. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? That was a Jewishness about Jesus. And there's something about your life. You know, if you look at me like this, you think I'm just here. My brother will be here. And shortly, my brother will be coming but this weekend with his wife. His wife is a church member. She always attends every service. They live in Ghana. I have family. I'm the kind of person who just live by myself. But one day my mother sat me down and was telling me stories of her father that was a conqueror that used to go to war and then capture slaves. And slaves would deliver in their jar, in their compounds. And those slaves would be cursing all those masters when they are delivering their baby. I couldn't imagine my mother telling me the story. I read that one in Old Testament. But it happened in our village. More than 90 plus. Her father used to go to war and capture slaves. Amazing. Do you know that in the story of Jesus, there were different men. Different men. And then some women showed up there and they were notorious. I was shocked that Tamar, her husband died quite early. He didn't have a child. And then they gave her to somebody, and that person didn't really sleep with her well, and then didn't have a baby, and God killed the person. And then the father was as scared. The father lost his own wife too, and then well, the lady tricked him to marry. I don't know what is your story. Your story is better than that. You don't know everybody's story here in our genealogy. And then the father slept with the daughter-in-law and gave birth to two sons, and they showed up in this, they called Perez. Are you hearing me? And you know what? Can I surprise you? Do you know why Boaz married Ruth? Ruth was an outsider. I was shocked when I read the story. Ruth was an outsider. Came from another nation. You know why Ruth married Boaz? You never know. You know why? Because the mother of Boaz was Rahab. It's in the story. Let's go back. Go back to verse 4. Judah begot Perez and Terah by Tamar. Perez begot, Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Next verse. Ram begot Aminadab. Aminadab begot Nahshon. And Nahshon begot Salmon. Look at next verse. And Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. See there? So, Boaz was international in his blood. Boaz, everybody else didn't want to take that person that was in the book of Ruth. They didn't want to take Ruth. No, I don't want to spoil my inheritance. But Boaz was born by a Jew who married a harlot that believed God. So it was easier for Boaz to be a little bit open up. Now, let me tell you my story. My mother sat me down and told me that my father was not born normally. I bear my father's name directly. He said, my grandmother, her husband died. She gave birth to 3 or 4 children, my uncle. I never knew why there was such a struggle between my uncle and my dad. And he said, when her husband died, they had to sulope for somebody else. Huh? And then they gave my grandmother to one of the family brothers, and then they fought so much, and my father was born. So I never knew why he was not belonging. My father, my mother told me, he was the hardest working person among them. My father will get the money, build the house, they won't contribute there, they take over the house. My mother told me that my father came to marry her in the village, and he was at home, and she got sick and got sick and got sick and got sick, and she couldn't get recovered until my father said, my money is finished, and he took my mother and said, I'm going back to where I came from, Benin Republic. And the moment my mother crossed our village territory, she got well instantly. I guess God didn't want us to be born here. So, please, sometimes we think that our natural life, they don't matter. But I saw some of my uncles, we look alike so much. I have one uncle, if you see him, he's light and complexion, he's tall like me, he's stammers like me. Another bully. So, Jesus, let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus was not conceived by father and mother. It's just like, what do they call today? That thing they do for women that want to, implantation. What do you call it now? IVF. God just implanted the fertilized heavenly ovum inside. That's done today by science now. But God did the creation of the ovum. It was the seed of the woman. And God planted her in the womb of Mary. But that womb, science tells us that the blood of the mother and the child, they don't mix. Am I right? They share things. Am I right? But that Jesus had that kind of gene, but he still was born through the womb of a Jewish woman. And he grew up in a Jewish culture. That's why sometimes when Christ talk in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we don't understand, because it's a Jewish talk. For instance, if your hand offend you, cut it off. Many of us think that's really crazy. But that was a Jewish talk, that you must give up things that are painful to get what you are really going to get beneficial in your life. But some Christians think that you go and cut your finger and cut your hand. Are you hearing me? So today, number one, look at your natural makeup. Don't ever renounce all that. You came from somewhere. Tell somebody, you came from somewhere. I know I'm from heaven. Thank you. I know you are from heaven, but your body package down here. And it's a kind of a reflection. Now let me warn you over here. It will help you. If you have a godly heritage, it will affect you through life. Now someone say, I don't have. Let your children have it. Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. There's something about our family now that my wife and I, we are creating. That we are looking forward to the future. If Jesus tarry. And every one of us over here, you are carrying something. When you came to Christ, something is part of you. I have been young. Now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. Your children will experience goodness of God beyond what we can ever think. God said, to those who love me, I have a covenant for their 1,000 generations if Jesus tarry. So you are going somewhere. Your best is yet to happen, even after your death. Are you hearing me, somebody here? So it pays to serve Jesus. Godliness is profitable. My father walked away from their culture and went to Africa and started going to church and went to Baptist church and introduced me to the Bible. If I never had that, if I grew up in the village worshiping an idol, where will I be today? So your parents send you to school, put you in the right place. God was in that providence moving your life even before you came to Christ. Are you hearing me, somebody here? God traced you. God watched you. He says yesterday, before the foundation of the world, he had planned for you. So his plan didn't start when you got born again. It began before you were born again, before you were born. And he planned your life to come through that family. Can we just lift our hands and thank God for our family, our heritage? Wherever it is, it may look so bad, but just say, Lord, thank you for my heritage. Thank you for where I am right now. Thank you for how you have brought me this far. Thank you that I am not just here by myself. And thank you that you are putting me here for a purpose. Thank you for my siblings around me. Thank you for the life you have given me. Thank you for those who are coming after me. Thank you for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren that will come into the world. And if you tarry, thank you that the seed of faith will be multiplied down the line in the name of Jesus. Amen. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Don't worry about your own struggle now. Abraham struggled, but Isaac went further. Amen. That's one I noticed. So there is a tradition over your life, and it's a good tradition. Jesus had it too. But let's go to the book of Mark quickly. I don't have time. Let's go to the book of Mark. But when you open Mark, Mark is a strange book. There was no jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Are you hearing me? This is how it started. Look at Mark 1 verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As is written in the prophet. Could you see him come here? Could you see some FEC Jara? As is written in the prophet, behold, said my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Now please, everybody listen. I may sound confusing by this next one. I may sound confusing. Please listen, because what I just said now is so powerful, but let's take it further. There's a tradition over your life, both good and the bad. And God has picked both the good and the bad to bring you to the world. And that good and the bad is creating your life. Jesus had that same heritage too. Judah was there that sold Joseph, was part of Jesus' line. Solomon was there, born illegitimately, was part of it. Are you hearing somebody here today? But now, listen, how will you live your life? Tradition is important. Your heritage is very great, but you are alive now. So what is the best way to live your life? And I saw that in the book of Mark, what was important to the life of a man is what is written. What is written. Thank God for my dad and my grandfather, but they are not living now. I'm living now. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody here? God wants you. Jesus, according to Mark, he had a story of it is written. In fact, even if you go to Matthew, when the angel was coming to talk to Joseph about Jesus, he said, it is written in the scriptures. Am I right? Am I right? Am I right? Are you hearing me? When they asked, where will he be born? They went to go and open the book. And they found out he was born in Bethlehem. Am I right? When he was taken to Egypt, there was, the Bible said, out of Egypt I'll call my son. It's in the book. And when he was taken to Nazareth, they wrote, Nazarene shall he be called. That means, that, listen now, you cannot tell off your past stories, but you can locate yourself in the scriptures. That's what I want you to see today. If you are going to live a life that is great, thank God for your traditions. But God wants you to pick your Bible and live your life by it is written. Now let me surprise you. Tradition is great, but truth is much more alive. Sometimes we tell you it's very embarrassing. It happened to me yesterday, very embarrassing. I didn't feel like telling it. I told my wife this moment. I said, You know me now. I'm a stickler for the written word. I don't talk to people on the phone. I do more of texts. But I think I'm getting a little bit older now, and I'm getting that I should not just be myself anymore in that sense. So just talk on the phone. Call people, talk on the phone. And we have, we usually import our stuff. They send from abroad. We buy all those things, all these cameras. We have a shipping agent that gets things for us. And we are supposed to get speakers because these speakers are giving us a lot of problems. That's why my microphone is not doing quite well. So we have already imported the speakers. It's supposed to land on the 18th. It didn't land. So yesterday when we were in the service, I saw a call. I came back to the service around 2:30. I picked up my phone and I saw the shipping agents in UK with their workers over here. And I saw in the text, will you go and pick it up so that you won't go to Lagos? Kuyemi, Uti arrived. So I went to the other side of Nigerian address. I opened it. I just saw how much you are going to pay. That's all I saw. I didn't look for that. And I started calling her because she has called me. And I called her, she was not picking. Now, normally, I should have read, our tradition is that we will import these things. It will be in Lagos. Then they send it to us. But these are big speakers. So I was thinking, okay, we'll go to Lagos this week. But I didn't read the text. You know what was in the text? The container was offloaded in Onikolobu Abeokuta here. If you don't read the Bible, you are missing the Lord. Being around 1:30, being offloaded, and they said in the text, please, we don't have to go to Lagos with your speakers. Come and pick your speakers. But I didn't forgive me, we'll have been using it today. But I took the call responding. Now, you know what happened? The bad thing that happened? The lady that was in Lagos has lost her voice. So when I pick up the phone, she said, I said, okay, our speakers. Mm-hmm. Now we come and pick it in Lagos, take it to Mende, and then we go and pick it. He said, He said, my voice is gone. And I just said, praise the Lord, we have arranged. And I closed the thing. Huh? Can you imagine? Stickler for the written word. In fact, can I make it more embarrassing? I was telling my wife after yesterday, Nigerians don't read. So, sorry, I'm exposing myself, have you? Prof, you know that's bad for me. I was saying it with all, and I didn't read it myself. Olo do, Rabata. You know? So, you know how I find out? So, this morning I woke up, because that was confusing. Hey, go and pick it. You don't have to transport. So, this morning, we wanted to pay the money. Mubasi text. Bada! Olo, Jesu! So I took the phone. I called her. She said, you know, I lost my voice. I got to talk with you. I said, oh. He said, we're going to pick it in Lagos. Now we're thinking how we're going to pick it. We have big things like that. Just because. Do you know why the Jews were against Jesus? They followed tradition. And they forgot to read what is written. So when John came, they said, are you Elijah? He said, no. Are you the prophet? He said, no. Are you the Elisha? Are you Christ? He said, no. He said, who are you? I'm the written voice speaking the wilderness. Written. So it is very easy to just forsake the truth and follow tradition. Whatever your parents, whatever your lineage, the plus, take it, the minus, use the word against it. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Let me go to the third one quickly. My time is really running. I don't want to spend too much over here. Let's go to the Luke account. And I want us to, we have seen, number one, the tradition in God's doing. We have seen the truth that is written. The third one, which is important, I want to show you how God works about your life, your bad, and your going through life. Please listen to this. And some of us over here, we are discouraged about God in this area. You know, when I woke up this morning reading my Bible, I read the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, I'm on the last, second to the last chapter. And there was a bad storm. Bad storm. An angel appeared to Paul and said, I will bring you out of this storm along with other lives, but the ship will crash on an island. He's God now. Should I finish the job now? So just he lifted them and dropped them in Rome. You know, the next thing that bothered me was in Luke version. And Luke said this. Let's go and read it. How will God act in our life, in our history, in our circumstances? Will God just airlift us and don't let anything be wrong with our lives? Luke 2 verse 1. It's a Christmas story. Let's read it together. Verse 1. Luke 2 verse 1. Let's just read it quickly. My time is running. I want to stop so we can sing, go home. Luke 2 verse 1. Can you find it for us quickly? The book of Luke chapter 2 verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Next verse. The census first took place while Quirinus was governing Syria. Let's keep on reading. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Next verse. Jesus also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of lineage of David, and to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Next verse. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. What an abnormality. It should have been easier when they were in their own house with their bag for hospital. Am I right? You never know how difficult it is when you travel out to take care of things. It can be difficult. You're in a strange land. Next verse. Okay, that stay here. And she brought forth her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger. Because? What a bad because. I mean, how could God have not provided first class hospital for Jesus? I mean, this is the Savior of the world coming to the world. Then I learned one word in divine account. It's called improvising. What do I say? Improvising. Many of us don't know that God will improvise with whatever is available. God will not say, many of you are saying, I wish my wife is better than this. I wish my job better than this. I wish my country better than this. I wish my neighborhood better than this. God always improvises what he has. And you will never see the best of God as long as you're looking for the best condition to take place in. You will not see the best of God. I mean, look at this moment. The Savior of the world, the best of heaven is coming to the earth. And there was no place in the room. And one, sorry to use this word in church, stupid emperor made a law. Everybody should move. And go and register in your village. And then you know she was heavy. And then, you know, I mean, just like that. Just one angel would dispatch the head of Augustus Caesar. But God walks in the midst of all this. Oh, can we clap our hands for Jesus, somebody? God won't eliminate all the troubles. He will walk through all the troubles. And can I just tell you today that you don't have another life. You don't have another home. You don't have another marriage. Pastor, I will divorce her and marry somebody else. You are right, but that one you won't forget it because you keep on comparing and contrasting with that one you just left. Says the Lord. If you buy a car now and sell the car, the next car you buy, you'll be saying, so it's your life. But your life will not come on a cheap plate, an easy life. Jesus was born. Can you imagine the woman laboring and they moved to this place and there was no inn? I know Mary will be thinking, is he not the Son of the Highest? Is he not the God of glory? Improvising. How many of you study the course you plan to study? Can I see your hands up? How many of you study the course you plan to study? You really plan to study that? Fine. How many of you, the course you study today, you didn't plan to study it? What can fool any? Brother Peter's hand is up. Anybody else, the course you picked, you didn't just. Some of you are still mad. Brother Peter, if I tell you a story, you will not believe it. Brother Peter was taken for medicine already at University of Ilorin. His father was a Christian. His mother was born again. They were believing God. They were Christians. God, go. I think your father led Bishop Wale Oke to Christ. His father led Bishop Wale Oke to Christ. So it's not bad. And he did, and they took him, and they had thanksgiving in church for mercy. And then they went to school to go and report. They said, Kota Kowole, what will you tell? Where is God? He's improvising. He's improvising. So, you know what happened? The Golden Deer, which other course? Now chemistry, Koyo. Other ones, Koyo. Something happened to Brad Peter. I don't know what happened. I was just God. He said, just give me anything, even a stone. The father looked at him, if I remember. The father looked at him, kill him, son. He said, just give me a course. I'll make something out of my life. Oh, clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Oh, glory. I can't forget that story. You know, he said, and he gave him physics. Physics. The physics people are here. And he gave him physics. And he entered. And he studied physics. And he got BS in physics. But whatever he had, he was working with it. So he said, well, he went to do masters in Lagos. So he started working in one company. And he went to go and work in that company for a while, doing satellite dishes, things like that. And suddenly, the day he was leaving the place, one man came who had been working for very well. The man said, you're going to school, you're living here. Oh, come follow me across the road to Lafarge. And the man took him there. Didn't know him before. Didn't know. He just said, it's my brother from the same. Oh yeah, put his name down. That's how he entered Lafarge. And then he went to go and do electronics and stuff like that. Start rising up. Are you hearing me? Huh? And travel all over the world working with Lafarge. And then he got to the pinnacle of engineering and he asked himself, below Drosina, can we just improvise again? Let me go and do HR. Huh? Engineer, physics, measurist, number, and figures and facts. And you know what? He switched over and the company sent him to go and do HR in the US, I think so, UK or France. And he got it done and he came back. And today we thank God for his life management. You know what? If you have said, I never studied medicine. Anyone give me biochemistry, even microbiology, physics. You go to class every day and curse God. Where will you go? Tell your neighbor, your life is the best you can ever have. That's what you have. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? Use what you have. Don't lament on what you don't have. Abeokuta, Pastor, how can you believe in Abeokuta? I'm glad here. I like this town. I like the name. I went to abroad. I saw elephant and kasu. I like Totoro. I like Itamari. I could eat babe. I like that. I just sometimes, you know, I never wish somewhere. Ah, kidding. Like, no, I'm okay with my life. No, of course, I want to improve, but I will improvise what I have. God always improvises. He doesn't get the best to work with. If I were God, when Adam sinned, you know what I would do? I wouldn't come. I just say, Angel Michael, get some sulfuric acid. You know, I'm a maker now. I can always make something better, something new. Well, I mean, dispatch you. I'm saying, well, I will not be here today. Clap your hands for the faithfulness of God. To use what we have. To take us. I tell people, I said, you must learn to save money because God is a savior. He has been saving your life. He's been investing in your life all these years. Are you hearing me? Let's stop there today. Can you hear me? Are you here today? Let's look at the fourth John. John is the last one. And you know, John did something very fantastic. John never talked about Christmas, not about starting, not about Mark, not about stories. He went right in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word became a human being. Verse 14 later. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he stopped. That's Christmas story. That's where I stopped. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I told you yesterday, the highest in life is to have God as your Father. Praise God, somebody. So when we look at the story of Jesus, he could manage with the manger. You know, that's not his final house. He said, I came from the Father. And I came into this world. And when I finish here, I'm going back to the Father. Do you know what? No matter what you see in this life, Tinubu and Co, that's not the end. There's going to come a new heaven and a new earth. You're going to have a glorious life with God for eternity. No pain, no tears, no sickness, no disease. Is that not what's shouting about? Praise the Lord! And thank God there'll be no marriage in heaven. There'll be no delivery of babies in heaven. Some of you say amen. Some of you say amen. If you have a great marriage, you say, oh me, there'll be no marriage in heaven. If you have bad marriage, oh, praise God. Whichever way, I tell my wife, I'll come and see you in heaven. And remember the art together. Are you hallelujah. One of my friends, I don't know if you are there, you are that prison now. Whenever Buddy was preaching about heaven, he said one of his ministers, friends, one of these old ministers went to heaven. And he saw that when you get to heaven, they'll give you what you like. Your house will be built really well. He said, if it's like that, my house will be different. He said, for me, when I get to heaven, they give my desire, there'll be nobody around me for the next 1 mile. He said, you only get across to me through Wi-Fi. We all started laughing. Praise God. I said, heaven. Actually, we came from there. We were in the mind of God. Ephesians 1. Let's read and close. Message Bible from verse 4. Ephesians 1, verse 4. So as we look at Jesus' story, know where I came from. The real stuff is not about here and struggles and written. Thank God for the written word. Thank God for life. But there's much more. There's a place called heaven. Long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind and settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Next verse. Long, long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. That's why he came. Jesus was the first missionary. Praise God, somebody. Pastor Dekule, he was the first missionary to come and bring the family home. That's why I believe in missions, because they are God's children too. They may not have spoons to eat. They may not have clothes to wear. But they have the blood of Jesus on their head. And we must work for their own end. Praise the Lord, somebody. What pleasure it took in planning this. So I feel that when God, at the beginning, Jesus was being sent, God was kind of being a little bit with a sense of humor. You are going to the planet. These people are having all kinds of problems. I know there are people that are better, that are living in palaces, but we are going to send you to the manger. You're going to be born in the lowest place. You're going to struggle, drink dirty water, and live in a peasant home. Why? We have a reason. Because you are the highest here. We bring you to the lowest so you can feel all in all. Woo! Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. I said glory to Jesus. So as we close, don't forget that it's more than a child. It's more than just a son. It's the eternal word from the beginning. It's ageless. It's timeless. It's forever God Almighty himself who became a baby. And like Sister Uchi says today, he's returned back to glory. Praise God, somebody. The beautiful thing is that, can I close like this? The beautiful thing is this, there is a person now, a human being in Trinity. There is a human being now in Trinity. There is the Father, there is the Holy Spirit, they are both spirit. But there is the man, Jesus Christ, who is like us forever. So we have a nest of kin in the Trinity. He wore our skin, not to drop it after resurrection, but to glorify it. And one day we are going to have glorified body, and we are going to be with him. So till then, let's cheer up. Let's keep going. Merry Christmas. Thank you very much. Can we have the song?